Hi there. Welcome to the Health Analytic Insights podcast. This podcast is all about creating a community of like-minded individuals who are passionate about the field of health informatics. I hope to share information and advice in topics such as health analytics, digital health, biomedical engineering, and data visualization in healthcare. And in exchange, I would love to hear from you, dear listener, about your experience and interest in this field. You can drop me a line at healthanalyticinsights@gmail.com. And this email, along with any references discussed during this podcast, will be listed in the show notes below. If this resonates with you, don't forget to follow and subscribe to this podcast, as I'll be releasing new episodes bi-weekly. So on this episode of the Health Analytic Insights podcast, I'm really excited to interview Andrea Hobby, who is a data scientist at Accenture Federal Services and the founder of Public Health and Data Science Newsletter on Substack. She has previously held public health and clinical research positions at Georgetown University, UCLA, the Johns Hopkins School of Public Health, and the University of Washington. So welcome, Andrea, to the podcast. And first of all, can you provide listeners insight into your background and how you first got started in public health?
Sure. I'm happy to be here. I guess I'll go way back. I grew up in Southern California with my mom, dad, sister. And my mother is a public health nurse, and she went to work nursing school while I was a kid. So I started kind of getting interested in healthcare and science at an early age just by reading her books while she was in nursing school. And then my dad was a teacher, as was his mother. So education and science was really important in my household. Let's see. And my dad always made sure we had some sort of science project or health project to work on. So it was a big part of my childhood. So basically, I grew up in Southern California, and I pretty much stayed in California all the way through I was 18. I left for college to go. I went to Wellesley, Massachusetts at 18. So when I was at Wellesley, I thought I wanted to be a doctor. So when I first started, but however, going to college, I was exposed to other aspects of healthcare. I didn't know biotech was a thing before I started, or doesn't even like health policy. Obviously, that makes sense, like health policy. But just growing up, I wasn't thinking like big picture about what I could do in healthcare besides being a nurse or a doctor. So I was in college exploring other ways I could make an impact in healthcare. So I had like my first internship at LA County Office of Women's Health while I was undergraduate locally, which I thought was a really important experience for me to have, and I'm really glad that I did it. But then after I graduated from Wellesley, I kind of spent about 2 years bouncing around different types of public health and clinical research positions in public health, like you said, at Johns Hopkins, UCLA, University of Washington, and other places, until I decided like what I really wanted to do. So I didn't really figure out what I wanted to do until I was working at UC Lake for a second time. The second time I was working in the Department of Hematology Oncology, and I was working in data management / compliance. And my team that I was working on was the lead site for a clinical trial that was funded by Merck. It's called KEYNOTE-001 at the time. But basically, this study that I was working on ended up getting approved by the FDA for melanoma. It's called Keytruda now, which you probably see commercials for, which I thought was really cool. I got to be a part of that research process and work closely with the scientists on the team. And also, they also have a cancer immunology lab at the same place I was working at. So I got to interact with a lot of scientists. And then I noticed one of the scientists, she was using machine learning in her research. She was trying to predict whether or not a cancer subtype would respond to new therapeutics they're developing in the lab, which I thought was pretty cool. And I was like, I want to do something like this. But at that time, I didn't have any training in cancer research or any technical experience. And like, I didn't know how to do machine learning or data science or anything. So I was like, I can't see what she's doing with what I know right now. So I guess at that time I decided I need to learn how to program. So I start learning how to program, and I like, I need to go back to school. So this led me to apply to Georgetown for grad school and study cancer epidemiology and data science. So that's how I kind of got to where I am right now.
Yeah, I love that story because it's not straightforward, and it points to a lot of learning and going back to school and, you know, feeling lost for some sort of areas. And I feel very similar to that because, and I've made this point in several episodes, that I feel like when you're going to healthcare, they don't really tell you about all the different positions that really exist. You really just hear about the nurse or the doctor.
And if, for example, you're afraid of blood or you don't want to necessarily be in direct patient care, you can kind of feel like, oh, is this field even for me? But there's a lot of technical positions in this field that is not really spotlighted on and talked about. So it's great that you had the opportunity to, you know, have mentors and have people that you could kind of learn more about machine learning and that aspect of it. So what made you interested in merging these two fields of public health and data science? You talked a little bit about the cancer research that you got involved with. Is there any other kind of aspects that really got you interested in merging these two fields?
I think usually I just try to think back, because I think that what really kind of changed the course of what I wanted to do, like working at UCLA for a second time in the oncology department. So I kind of think back to that, and everyone's doing all this amazing groundbreaking research. And I was like, maybe I can do something like that, but not working in a lab with my So I just thought, I'm like, what can I do? So while I was in grad school at Georgetown, I was taking, I studied data science and epidemiology. And then while I was there, I'd start looking for resources and jobs on public health and data science. That's what I was really interested in. Like, I didn't want to like work in a lab or anything. So I started noticing most of the research I was seeing, or at least at that time, are it was more focused on maybe using machine learning with radiology and oncology, and not really in the public health context. Or I would go to like a tech conference and they would have almost all the industries represented and there'd barely be any healthcare people. And I just felt like it was kind of a neglected space, to say at least, though I just created out of the need to have a space for people who might be interested in public health and data science, and not necessarily people who are interested in, I don't know, radiology and, you know, using imaging and data science. So just people that are focused on those two areas.
Mm-hmm. And yeah, you often see that in tech conferences or just tech in general. It's very focused kind of like on the financial industry or marketing. But yeah, there's definitely an area for healthcare that it can be very advantageous in. Of course, healthcare kind of lags behind in some other industries, you know, to deal with patient safety and things like this. But you can really see that tech can make a huge difference. So I'm hopeful that in the future, we'll see more and more representation in that aspect. I saw in your resume that you had experience with the ORISE Data Science and Visual Analytics Fellowship. Can you talk a bit about this? Many people have asked me about how do I get into placements or internships or fellowships. So if you could talk a bit about the process on how you actually obtained this fellowship and how you felt that it impacted your career, that'd be great.
No problem. So I found about this fellowship on this website called, it's called Ventilect, and that's where the federal government has all their fellowships listed, pretty much, or most of them. So that's how I found out about it. And at the time, I like went into it thinking like, I really wanted to work at the FDA based on my experience of working at UCLA, because FDA plays a huge role in basically everything when it comes to drug development. So I thought it'd be really cool to work at the FDA, and it'd be really cool to do data science. So that's how I found out about it through the Ventilect website. And let's see, how did it have an impact on my overall career trajectory? I feel like it was helpful because I feel like my current employer really liked that I had data science experience, and they really liked that I had experience working with the federal through my fellowship. So it definitely played a good role. And I feel like I really encourage people to apply to programs. It's like a good way to get started. And it's like a low pressure environment too, because they really want you to learn and grow and develop. Mm-hmm. And they're not really as focused on, like, once you get to, like, you know, a place like Accenture or like a big company, they want you to like deliver right away, but they really focus on your growth and learning, and they want you to just take your time and learn how to do it right and not just rushing you through things. So I'm really glad I had that experience.
Like when you're early on in your career, you want to have the grace to be able to make mistakes and learn things and have that pressure. I'm just surprised, like, you might think people might have this, I guess, preconceived notion that the government might not be using the most up-to-date tools, or you might think that, oh, maybe they're lagging behind. But it's great that a government department is using data science. And do you know, like, what tools did you specifically use during your fellowship?
Yeah, the government is playing catch up. Like, they're not like where, like, I don't think my current company is, but they are trying to improve in that area. So I mainly use Python and Tableau. I use Python because the data, I was building a dashboard for adverse events. So basically, if you have, like, you're a human or animal, you take a drug and you have like an adverse reaction, it gets reported to the FDA. And then, so at least for the, where I was working on, the data wasn't totally clean. So I had to clean the data in Python, which was probably 80 or 90% of what I did. Mm-hmm. And then eventually I pulled it into like a dashboard and did some like analyses with the data, but basically Python Tableau.
Very cool. Yeah, that whole data cleaning process can be very difficult. And I always like tell people just really, really focus on that data cleaning process if you're going to be building a portfolio or something like that to, you know, show employers and interviewers, like to be able to know how to pivot data or change it to different date formats. Is it's cool to do all the data science aspect of it, but also like the data cleaning is, I found, is a large part of the work. So moving on to kind of how I found out about you, which is through your public health and data science newsletter, what made you start to create this resource, first of all?
Mainly as a place, well, I honestly didn't think it would get any traction, but I mainly started as a place, it's more for myself to have a central place to talk about public health and data science and like what I'm learning and finding and sharing it with people, and which was kind of surprising that people are actually reading it. I don't know why it's surprising, but I was like, oh, people are actually interested. So I'm really happy about that.
No, that's great. And similar to me starting the podcast, like I found that health informatics and, you know, data science and healthcare and all these types of fields are very niche. So you can kind of feel like, am I the only one in this field? So I kind of started as a resource just to get to know people, kind of share information. And that's definitely what your newsletter has been for me, like just to learn about the different data sets and the different positions that are out there in data science and healthcare. And my other question is, what has been one of the unexpected results that you've received from creating this newsletter that you didn't expect?
I mainly thought if anyone subscribed, it would be like health students or recent graduates or something, but there's people that are like used to work in the White House, there are people that are lawyers, there are people like almost from every continent that subscribe to newsletter. So I think that's pretty cool that there's just like a diverse group of subscribers, which was not what I expected. Yeah. I just thought it'd be like recent biostats or epi grads or health informatics graduate students, but a wider base than I thought it would be.
Oh, that's awesome. So one of the difficult things for me when I'm trying to practice my data science skills, right now I'm trying to learn more about natural language processing, you know, building chatbots or doing sentiment analysis. And one of the issues that I've been struggling with is the lack of available healthcare data, of course, due to privacy and security reasons. Do you have any tips for listeners if they're trying to develop their R or Python skills? What are data sets they can practice with, or what are projects that they can work on if they're just trying to develop their skills? And what tips would you give to them?
Sure. I did write a post about data sets that you can find in my newsletter. It's like a list of all sorts of different healthcare data sets. For my recent projects, I've used the CDC has some publicly available data. So I've used that. I've used data from the National Cancer Institute before, mm-hmm. but I do have like a list of other data besides that. Like there's data with CMS, there's data like using data.gov as a general search for data sets. There's all sorts of data sets. I do try to like not use Kaggle though. I know Kaggle, everyone loves Kaggle, but I like to work with like real like healthcare data sets that are straight from the source. I try to go directly to the government website.
Yeah, it's not every day we want to use that Titanic data set. Yeah, that's great. And I will definitely make sure to link both the ZIntellect internship site that you mentioned, as well as your data sets in the show notes below so people can have access to that. And this has been so great, this conversation so far. As we wrap up, my last question, Andrea, is what career advice do you wish you gave to your younger self?
Oh, I think for my younger self, I was really shy growing up and I like didn't want to talk at all. Like I would cry if I had to like talk in class, but I'm not afraid to do that anymore, thankfully. But I always say just don't be shy and just use your voice and speak up and be your own advocate.
Yeah, I love that. I think that similar, very shy and nervous, but I think that, you know, just putting yourself out in the world, whether it's creating a podcast, writing a blog post that you're interested in, especially if it's in health informatics or something like that, putting yourself out there is a good way to find like-minded people and, yeah, just making sure that your gifts are shown out there in the world.
Thank you for listening to the Health Analytic Insights podcast. I'd love to hear from you about topics I should cover in future episodes. Please consider subscribing and leaving a review. Have a wonderful day.